In this episode, I'm going to freak myself out about my finances. And I'm also going to talk about what would happen to a country if women suddenly stopped having children. So, hi, you're listening to the secret podcast of the worst pregnant person. This is my first pregnancy, and so far I'm terrible at being pregnant, so I started this podcast to complain. So I'm sure you can relate to this if you're also an average person who lives in the UK. As it stands, I will receive statutory maternity pay that isn't enhanced, which means my work doesn't top up the pay that the government guarantees me. Statutory maternity pay in the UK is paid for up to 39 weeks and you get 90% of your average weekly earnings for the first 6 weeks and £187.18 or 90% of your average weekly earnings, whichever is lower, for the next 33 weeks. Tax and national insurance will be deducted from this. So that's approximately £736.12 a month. But with tax and national insurance deducted, which I think is bollocks, is about £718 per month take home. Surely I've paid my dues and taxes for many years to be able to have a tax break when on maternity leave. I've been working since I was a teenager. Why do they do this to us? I'm by no means very good at maths and economics. So someone in the comments, please let me know why the government taxes you on this measly amount. I also live in London and I'm part of Generation Rent. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you how extortionate rent is here in London. I'm actually from London, so this is my hometown. I didn't grow up wealthy. I'm from a single parent family and I don't have any inheritance coming, including properties or anything like that. So my partner and I did look to move to Manchester not too long ago, but that didn't work out. And now I have my chosen hospital and midwife appointments. I don't really want that drastic change of scenery, especially when going through one of the biggest changes of my life to my body and to my lifestyle. So we will remain in London for now, but we'll look to move out to the burbs pretty soon if we can just find a bit more space for a cheaper price. However, I do think trying to find a cheaper place to rent is wishful thinking. So when I do go down to that statutory payment of £718 a month, this doesn't even cover my rent or bills, which is a very scary thought. With the cost of living and rent, I've only been able to save a modest amount for my maternity fund, but I will try hard and keep squirreling away as best I can. So as I mentioned, I do have a partner, so we have his income too, but with the rent and cost of living, this is still going to be a tight squeeze, and it's still very, very, very scary. I know what it means to live on the breadline. I did experience this quite often growing up. And I also know that I have a better lifestyle now that I'm very grateful for, that I've worked for. But I can empathise with people who are living on the breadline. And if they become pregnant, like the additional stress that comes with this, with the cost of living at the moment, it's hard. It's so hard, you know, with the... like the middle classes are being squeezed at the moment as well. So let alone, you know, the people who are on the breadline as well and what they must be experiencing when they get pregnant too. Money stress is the worst. It really is. And it can be all consuming. I've also read some really unhelpful comments online that frankly I'm not here for. One of them read, "Not sure why you deserve special help from the government. Surely financial implications of having children is something you and your partner should have discussed before getting pregnant." It makes me so angry to read comments like this. The emphasis should be on the cost of living, and the emphasis should be on the current attitudes towards taking care of people in society, including pregnant people and mothers. This has got me thinking, actually, about what would happen if women decided to not have children And it was really interesting research. I've never actually considered this before, but it is a no-brainer when you think about it. So here's what I discovered. So imagine everyone in the UK either couldn't have children or decided not to have children. This is what would happen. So immediate population aging, the population pyramid would narrow at the bottom as no new children would be born, while older generations will continue to age. So who would look after the elderly? Who would care for the elderly? And what would this do to state pensions? This would impact literally everyone in society. So a rapid workforce decline. So as older workers retire, there'll be no younger generations to replace them, and labour shortages would cripple the economy. There'd be a collapse of pension and healthcare systems. So fewer workers mean fewer taxpayers to support ageing citizens. Pension systems would become unsustainable. There'd be a social and psychological impact. So the absence of children would profoundly affect community life. Schools would close, there'll be fewer families forming, and a general decline in optimism about the future. There'll be political issues. So governments would likely declare a national emergency. So they might attempt to incentivize childbirth or seek technological solutions. So like the artificial wombs or immigration. So the country might attempt to attract immigrants to replenish the population. But if the fertility trend is global or immigration is limited, this wouldn't offset the decline. Population collapse. Once the last generation capable of reproducing ages and dies, the population will sharply decline, eventually to zero. And cultural extinction. So the languages, traditions, art and identity of that nation would disappear unless preserved elsewhere. So we would lose regional dialects. We would lose languages like the Welsh language or the Irish language. We would lose the pockets of culture that we have, you know, all those lovely accents that make up the UK, that make us so special and unique. Everything would just go. So this seems like a little bit more positive, because the environmental effects of the absence of humans would allow ecosystems to recover, which I guess is a positive for the world. But through urban decay and infrastructure collapse could have unpredictable environmental impacts. So there is a good reason for pregnant women and mothers to be looked after by society and by the government. I think people don't realise this. To be honest, this never crossed my mind in my 20s. Having children was not on my radar at all. I didn't even think about it. Sometimes I'd look at kids and be like, oh. But obviously my attitude has changed now. But I think everyone should be educated to have a little more empathy towards the struggle women face in society at the moment when having children, and how this actually positively impacts everyone. Those who choose not to have children, those who don't want children. People having children help with the economy, and then will help look after you when you age. They'll look after you in the healthcare system, all of that. So yeah, anyway, I just thought that was fascinating. And I'm sure I don't have to preach to you if you're listening, because you're probably pregnant or you're a mother, as this podcast probably won't resonate with those who are not. But yeah, I thought I'd preach that anyway, because it's fascinating. So another thing I thought I would depress myself by looking at is the best maternity packages in the world. So let me share my research with you. The contenders are Norway, Bulgaria, Sweden and Slovakia. So Norway leading the way. So we've got 49 weeks at 100% pay, or 59 weeks at 80% pay. The leave can be shared. Parts are reserved for each parent. So both are encouraged to participate, obviously, if you have your partner with you there. Bulgaria, one of the longest maternity leave durations and a high pay rate. So we've got 58.6 weeks paid at 90% of the salary. Sweden, we've got around 480 days of parental leave, many days paid, so about at 80% and shared between parents. And Slovakia, we've got 34 weeks of leave paid at 75% in many cases. So I kind of regret not moving to one of those countries and contributing there. I do feel let down by the government here. Again, it's something that you're not really aware of. You're not thinking, well, I wasn't thinking of in my 20s. I've only just started thinking about this stuff in my 30s. I knew a little bit about before I did get pregnant. I didn't go into this totally naive. I knew it was going to be a bit of a struggle, especially with the cost of living. But, you know, if you get a surprise and you fall pregnant without really planning it, that might be a terrible struggle, especially if you decide to go ahead with the pregnancy and then you've got all of this to contend with and a society that doesn't really appreciate you. Anyway, this has been, I know I started this podcast to complain, but it has been quite a heavy negative podcast and I wanted to end on a positive note. So here are some little things that help mums in the UK. And if you're listening in from another country, do let me know what help pregnant women and mums can receive where you are. I'm really interested to hear perspectives from across the world. So do please contribute your thoughts and your views and your facts in the comments section. So in the UK, you can get free NHS dental care during your pregnancy and for 1 year after your baby is born. I need to cash in on this, actually. I haven't been to the dentist for ages. And I do know, obviously, pregnancy affects your teeth. So yeah, I need to book a dentist appointment in pretty sharpish and cash that in. All pregnant mums in Scotland should receive free vitamins. These are specifically designed for pregnant and breastfeeding women. And in the UK, the Sure Start Maternity Grant is available to help low-income families with expenses associated with having a baby. So there's 3 points. Let me know what help you get in your country if you have something different. So I just wanted to end with money worries impact your mental health. They really do. When you're worried about money, it can be all-consuming. I know that. And it seeps into your entire existence. So if you're currently struggling, please do reach out to someone or speak to a professional. Go and get the support you deserve. Go to the Citizens Advice Bureau. I know there's no quick fix when you're facing money difficulties, but having someone there to support you could make the world of difference, especially if you're feeling really alone right now with all the added stresses of being pregnant or being a mum or being pregnant and also being a mum already. So yeah, anyway, thank you so much for joining me in this episode. And yeah, please do check out all the other episodes and leave a review or a comment or a like, whatever, if you like it, obviously. And I will, I'll see you in the next episode, okay? Take care of yourself. Bye.